Amen. All right, well, we're there in Proverbs chapter number 14. And of course, today is our Worker Appreciation Sunday. And I usually like to preach a sermon in regards to the work of the church and volunteering. And today I'd like you to look at one verse down here in Proverbs chapter 14. If you look at verse number 4, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." This is probably one of my favorite proverbs. I really like this proverb. And of course, the book of Proverbs is full of all sorts of great proverbs. And a proverb is a small saying, an illustration, something that kind of gives us wisdom. And here Solomon is giving us this proverb, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And he's given us a farmer's proverb. And of course, he is speaking to an agricultural community. And today, you and I living here in Sacramento, and some of you live in a little more rural areas, but we're not necessarily living in an agricultural community. But the principle, the wisdom of this verse is still there. He says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox." And he's giving us this illustration of a farmer who has an ox, who has this animal, this beast, and this is not a family pet. This is not like the family dog or a cat. This is a business investment. This is a beast of burden, an animal that has been purchased in order to work the land. And Solomon is giving us some principles here about work and about how things get done using this illustration. And he says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean." And the word crib there is referring to where the oxen lays or where it sleeps, the stall, if you would. And I'd like you to notice just several things in this proverb this morning. And I'll try not to take too long this morning. We've already done a few special things, but if you're taking notes, maybe you can write these things down. I'd like you to notice, first of all, the inconvenience of the ox. The inconvenience of the ox. You notice there, the first part of the verse says this: "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean." And what he is saying is, if you have a stall, if you have a crib, but you don't put an ox in it, that crib is going to stay pretty clean. And he's bringing to mind or bringing to light the idea that when you have an ox, when you have a beast of burden, when you have a beast to work, that there's going to be inconvenience associated with that animal. Because he says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean." And the reverse is true. Where oxen are, the crib is not clean. Where oxen are, there's going to be an inconvenience. Because if you are a farmer and you decide to go out and purchase or acquire an ox in order to work the land, there's going to be some inconvenience that comes along with that ox. That ox needs to be fed. So someone's going to have to go out and feed it or bring food to it or pitch hay or whatever it might be to be able to take care of the ox. And that ox not only is going to need to be fed, but that ox is going to need to be cleaned. Because, of course, after it eats, something else, some waste is going to come out of that animal. Someone's going to have to pick that up. Someone's going to have to clean up after that ox. And that ox is also going to have to be put up with. I mean, there's a stench associated with the ox. And there is a look. They're not necessarily the nicest thing to look at. And this ox is going to have to be cared for. This is why they're going to have to build a stall for it. They're going to have to build a crib, somewhere where you can bring this ox in when the weather is not nice, somewhere you can bring this ox in at night to sleep, and when it's raining, and when it's snowing, and when there's a thunderstorm. There's going to have to be some care. If the ox gets sick, you may have to bring a veterinarian in to care for it and to help it. And if and all of these things, the idea is that when you have an ox, there is an inconvenience associated to that ox. There's an inconvenience. He says, look, if you don't want to be inconvenienced, if you want to have a crib, if you want to have a stall that's always clean, there's no problem with that. All you need to do is don't put an ox in it. Because where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But if you want an ox, he says, you're going to have to feed that ox. You're going to have to clean that ox. You're going to have to care for that ox. There's an inconvenience that's going to come along with that ox. Now, keep your place there in Proverbs 14. That's our text for this morning. But go with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter number 4. And keep your place there in Proverbs 14 in the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Now please understand this. For this parable and for the sake of this sermon, the illustration of the ox, where the application of the ox is going to be this church. Because the ox is a work engine. The ox is used to work the land, to get something done, to get something accomplished. And honestly, this church, look, in the same way that there is much inconvenience in keeping an ox, please know this, there is much inconvenience in running a church. I mean, I just went through and read about, I don't know, I should have counted them, but I'm sure close to 100, if not 100, different positions of regular responsibilities of things that need to be done. And that's just our volunteers. I mean, I could give you a list just as long of all the regular responsibilities that the staff has and the regular responsibilities that I have. And there is much inconvenience. Just like keeping an ox is very inconvenient, there's much inconvenience in running a church. Are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look down at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We've seen these verses oftentimes. The Bible says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. God says, I gave you a pastor, I gave you a teacher. You say, for what purpose? Here's the purpose, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means to bring to maturity, to bring to full growth. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. Then he says this, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let me tell you something, the Bible refers to the ministry as work. Running a church requires a lot of work. In fact, in 1 Timothy, we're told, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You say, why does God call it work to be in the ministry? Because the ministry is work. And if you didn't know that, then you're not in ministry. Because there's a lot of work that goes along with the ministry. And look, in the same way that there is much inconvenience in keeping an ox, there is much inconvenience in running a church. I just took a few minutes and wrote down a list of things. And I just went off the top of my head. I'm sure I'll miss some things. But I just wrote a list of all the things that need to be done at Verity Baptist Church for this church to run. And I'm talking about a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning, separated church. You know, what needs to be done around here for us to just have this service this morning? What needed to be done? Well, someone needed to count and rubber band the invitations before soul winning yesterday. Someone needed to prepare and print the maps for soul winning. Someone needed to partner the soul winners into groups and send them out. Someone needed to track the completed maps that were finished. Someone needed to take the unfinished maps and finish them. Someone needs to clean the building on Monday mornings after the Sunday services. Someone, in order to get it ready for the Wednesday night service, someone needs to clean the buildings on Saturday afternoon after the midweek service to get it ready for the Sunday services. Someone needs to clean the building this afternoon after the Sunday morning service, before the Sunday evening service, to get it ready for the Sunday evening service. Someone, and I say someone, and it is someone, it's multiple people who help with the cleaning. Someone needs to provide rides for people that need a ride. Someone needs to pick the songs for the church services and send them to the pianist and orchestra in advance for them to practice. There was a time when we just kind of picked the songs before the service and went with it, and you could do that when you had a song leader and a pianist, but when you have a song leader and multiple pianists, you have a song leader and several people in an orchestra, you can't do that anymore. You have to pick the songs well in advance and send them out so they can have them, so they can practice them, so they can know them. Someone needs to lead the music on Sunday morning, and someone needs to lead the music on Sunday night, and someone needs to lead the music on Wednesday night. Someone needs to play the instruments, and someone needs to read the scripture, and someone needs to greet and care for the guests before the service, and Someone needs to approach the guests with the gospel after the service, and someone needs to run the sound and video equipment. Someone needs to update the website and the social media site. Someone needs to record the videos, and someone needs to edit the videos, and someone needs to post the videos. Someone needs to fill and prepare the baptistry. Someone needs to prepare and coordinate the baptism. Someone needs to take and develop the baptism picture. Someone needs to print the baptism certificate. Someone needs to take the towels and the robes and the laundry associated with the baptism and launder them and bring them back for the next service. Someone needs to pick music for the choirs, and someone needs to lead the practices for the children's choir and the adult choir. Someone needs to lead the homeschool PE classes, the boys' class and the girls' class and the toddlers' class. Someone needs to organize the homeschool field trip. Someone needs to plan for events. Someone needs to decorate for events. Someone needs to turn on the diffusers before every service. Someone needs to wipe down and sanitize the toys after the service. And someone needs to take the offering. Someone needs to count the offering. Someone needs to deposit the offering. Someone needs to track the offering. Someone needs to write you a letter and let you know what you gave so you can use it for tax purposes at the end of the year. Someone needs to do the accounting. Someone needs to help with the hospitality of people. Someone needs to do the hospital visits, and someone needs to do the counseling, and someone needs to organize the clothes closet, and someone needs to prepare the sermons, and someone needs to preach the sermons, and someone needs to play with the puppets. I'm just telling you, there's lots of things that need to be done to run a church. I mean, there's lots of things that go into a church. See, people show up to church like this and they think, oh, well, we just got together and kind of made this happen. But listen to me, there's an inconvenience associated. You say, I'm a farmer and I want an ox. Okay, well, here's the thing. Get ready to clean the ox, to feed the ox, to care for the ox. There's an inconvenience associated with the ox. And you say, when we started Verity Baptist Church, what did we learn real fast? We learned real fast that there's an inconvenience associated with a church. If you want to have a church that has good music, if you want to have a church that has professional hospitality, if you want to have a church that does the things, that has the ministries, that offers all the different things that we offer around here, there's a lot of inconvenience associated with that ox. So I want you to notice, first of all, we see the inconvenience of the ox. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. If you don't have an ox, there's no inconvenience. You have an ox, you'll be inconvenienced. But then I'd like you to notice, secondly, if you go back, keep your place right there in Ephesians, because we're going to come back in that area. But go back to Proverbs. I'd like you to see our proverb again, Proverbs chapter 4. I said, number one, there is an inconvenience to the ox. But I'd like you to notice, secondly, there's an increase of the ox. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. That's true. If you're going to have an ox, you're going to be inconvenienced. If you're going to have a church, there's going to be all sorts of work that needs to go into that church. But then he says this, but. He says, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. He says, look, there is an inconvenience to having an ox, but there's also an increase to having an ox. He says, much increase. He says, much is produced, much is accomplished, much is done by the strength of the ox, by the strength of the work engine. See, it is the ox that produces an increase. Now, you kept your place there in Ephesians. Go with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in Ephesians, you're going to go backwards, past the book of Galatians, past the book of 2 Corinthians, into 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And let me just say this. You say, why would someone go through the effort of keeping an ox? I mean, I don't even want a dog, much less an ox. I don't even want a goldfish, much less an ox. Why would a grown man, a farmer, decide one day, I think I'm going to go buy myself an ox? And of course, we're talking about in an agricultural community. Why would you go through the effort of keeping an ox? And the answer is this, because the ox produces great increase. Yes, you have to feed the ox. Yes, you have to clean the ox. Yes, you have to care for the ox. But you know, the ox is going to plow the land. That ox is going to help you turn over the soil, break up the fallow ground that needs to be done in order to be able to plant a harvest. It's going to help you plow the land. The ox can help you with transportation. It can pull carts. It can haul wagons. It can give rides. That ox can help with the threshing of the grain and by trampling it. See, there's lots of work. There's lots of increase that can be done by the ox. So yes, there is an inconvenience to the ox, but there is an increase to the ox as well. You say, Pastor, why would anybody go through the effort of running a soul-winning, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, separated, King James only, Baptist church? Why would anybody go through all of the effort, that whole list you just read to us, all those names you just read to us, why would anybody go through the effort of organizing those people, training those people, helping those people to get you to do all that work, all that inconvenience? Why would we go through the effort? And it is because this ox, Verity Baptist Church, produces a great increase. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says this. Notice what Paul says. He says, I have planted inconvenience. That's work. Apollos watered inconvenience. That's work. Notice it's not just a one-man show. It's multiple people coming together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered. You say, you could put in that category, you could say inconvenience. That's an inconvenience to have to plant, to have to water. But notice what the Bible says, but God gave the increase. See, there is an increase associated with the inconvenience. Verse 7, he says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything inconvenience, neither is he that watereth anything inconvenience, but God that giveth the increase. See, there is an increase associated with the inconvenience. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward. Notice the emphasis, according to his own labor. See, there's work that goes along with keeping an ox. And you say, well, why would I keep an ox? For the increase of the ox. For what the ox produces. For what the ox does. Notice verse 9, he says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. The word husbandry or husband, it means to care or to cultivate for a crop. It is an older word that basically means farmer. That ought to say something to you husbands about how God sees you. Your job is to care and cultivate that crop that God has given you in your family. He says, you are God's husbandry. He says, ye are God's building. He says, you are God's project. You are what God is working on. You are his husbandry. You are his field that he's plowing, that he's planting, that he's expecting to get fruit from. You are his building. You are his project. He says, you are working. You say, why would we put the time and the energy and the effort into the inconvenience of a church like this? One word. The increase. Say, who's the increase? It's you. It's me. It's all the people that have been saved and baptized and discipled and are grown. Go to the book of Acts, if you would. Acts chapter 6. You're there in 1 Corinthians. You just keep going backwards. You have Romans and then you have the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6. See, people come to this church and they're fed spiritually. Their marriages are helped. Their child rearing is helped. Their finances are helped, and even their health is helped, and they learn and they grow, and they learn the Bible, and they begin to apply it to their lives, and things get better, and God's working on them and building them, and he's increasing them, and he's helping them in their lives. You say, why put up with all of that inconvenience for the increase? Same reason a farmer puts up with the waste of an ox, the care of an ox. The feeding of an ox. Why? Because the ox is producing. Why do we do what we do? Why do we hire staff? Why do we run all the organizations and things we do around here? One reason, to get the gospel out. To get the seed out of the barn. To do what God has called us to do. See, a church is an assembly of believers that have bounded together under the authority of a pastor for the purpose of fulfilling the Great Commission. reaching people with the gospel, seeing them baptized, and helping them grow, teaching them to observe all things Jesus said, whatsoever I've commanded you. Are you there in Acts chapter 6? Acts chapter 6, we have the great book about the church, the New Testament church alive, the New Testament church empowered. Acts chapter 6, I want you to notice the emphasis of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, and the word of God, notice, increased. The word of God increased. 10 years ago, we started Verity Baptist Church, and I would say this, and I say this in the most humble way that I can think to say it, but I'll say this. In Sacramento, California, the word of God has increased. There is more Bible preaching, there is more Bible teaching, there is more Bible application, there is more Bible being done at Verity Baptist Church or in this community because of the word of God has increased as a result of this ox. That's working the land, that's knocking the doors, that's preaching the gospel. Even when we're all over the news, they're quoting Bible verses and showing clips of Bible verses and the word of God increase. And the number of the disciples multiplied. We started this church with a handful of people. Today we have about 90, 95 soul winners that go out most every week. And the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Look at verse 1, the same chapter, Acts chapter 6, verse 1. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied. See, it's all about increasing. It's all about growing. And in those days when the numbers of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. See, there was an inconvenience there that came along with the increase. Go to Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 31. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. Acts 9 and verse 31. The Bible says this, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. The churches were edified and walking in the on the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. Notice these words, were multiplied. Say, why put up with everything you put up here at Verity Baptist Church? Why do this, all this work and all this organization and all this administration and all this, you know, why do that? Well, you know, one reason we did it is because now there's a church in Vancouver, Washington called Sure Foundation Baptist Church that was increased and multiplied as a result of this ox. And there's a church in Boise, Idaho, that was started there, Shield of Faith Baptist Church, as a result of the work and the labor of this ox. And there's a church in Fresno, California that was planted there as a result of the work and the labor of this ox. And there's a church in Manila, Philippines that was planted there as a result of the work and the labor of this ox. And there's a church in Pampanga that was planted there as a result of the work and the labor of this ox. See, it says that they were multiplied. The churches were multiplied. You say, why do this? Why put up with the inconvenience for the increase? That the word of God might increase. That the disciples might be multiplied. That the churches might be multiplied. Go to Acts 16, look at verse 5. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith. Acts chapter 16, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith. Notice these words. And increased in number daily. Why go through the effort of running a soul-winning, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, separated, homeschooling, anti-vaccine, and all the things we do around here, Baptist Church? Why do it? Because it produces great effort. Because it produces great increase. Why put up with an ox? Because the ox will plow the land. Because the ox will produce a harvest. Because the ox will transport. It'll help you thresh the floor. It'll help you thresh the grain. See, there is an increase to the ox, and there is an inconvenience with the ox. Go back to Proverbs chapter 14, if you would. I'd like you to look at our proverb again. Proverbs chapter 14. I said, number one, I'd like you to notice the inconvenience of the ox. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. In the same way that there is an inconvenience associated with having an ox, there's very much an inconvenience associated with having a church. I mean, I know how we could go without ever having to clean this building. I know how we could go without ever having to clean this building. Just stop having people come to church. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. I mean, I know how we could never have to replace songbooks. I mean, we have to go through, staff guys have to go through, and my mom volunteers if something's not in there. You know, she'll go through on Saturdays and pick up all the songbooks that are ripped up and tape them and glue them and try to get them going for as long as it comes to a point where there's just nothing we can do and we have to throw them away and we have to order more songbooks. And on a regular basis, we're ordering songbooks and ordering songbooks. And I know how we could stop doing that, just stop having singing services. I mean, I know how, you know, we could just never have to go through. And on Friday, we had an event here, and the man went through and put all these chairs out and got them all situated, and we appreciate all the work they do. You say, how could we avoid that? Well, let's stop having events. I mean, I know how we can get rid of a lot of the inconvenience associated with church and stop ministering to people. Because there is an inconvenience associated with the ox. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But why do you keep the ox? You keep the ox because the Bible says much increase is by the strength of the ox. So we see the inconvenience of the ox, and then we see the increase of the ox. And I'd like you to notice, thirdly, this morning, we must come to grips with the investment of the ox. See, if you're going to have an ox, you're just going to have to make a decision that you're going to invest into that ox. I mean, if you're going to have an ox, you're just going to have to make a decision. At some point, the farmer has to make a decision, whether he does it consciously or subconsciously. At some point, he's going to have to decide, I'm just going to go ahead and keep the ox and clean the crib. See, there is labor associated with the work that needs to be done. When you make great effort, you will deal with a great mess. Listen to me. You say, I am so fed up with how filthy the church is after the service. These kids are running around and just destroying everything. Well, look, I know how we can keep the church clean. Let's just stop having kids. Let's stop investing into the next generation. You say, why don't we want to do that? Because there's great increase with these kids. Because these kids grow up and they become teenagers that play instruments and that go soul winning and that preach sermons and that love the Lord, and they get married and they become part of the work here. Look, there's a great investment that must be made, and we just got to decide. Look, we decided, my wife and I decided 10 years ago when we started this church, we were overwhelmed and overburdened, and we're still overwhelmed and we're still overburdened. Even this morning, I was looking at my wife and saying, I don't think I can do what we need to do to accomplish the amount of pressure that is put on us. But listen to me, every once in a while you have to decide, I'm going to keep the ox and I'm going to clean the crib. Amen. I'm not just talking about cleaning the building. I'm talking about the work and the labor that goes into the results. Go to Hebrews chapter 6 if you would. Hebrews chapter 6, if you start at the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you go backwards, you have Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd, and 1st Peter, James, Hebrews. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd, 1st Peter, James, Hebrews. I know how we can go through and never have to clean these carpets. Just stop having people come. I know how we can go through and save tons of money on ink. Just stop having 90 soul winners go out soul winning. I know how we can go through and never have to buy another Bible. Just stop having new Christians show up to church without Bibles. Stop offering it to them. I know how we could never have to buy another hymn book. Just stop having singing services. I know how we can go through and never have to get the piano tuned again. Just stop playing the piano. I know how we can go through and never have to replace a microphone, never have to replace a camera, never have to replace a speaker. Just stop having preaching services. I mean, there's a lot of inconvenience. There's a lot of inconvenience that can be avoided if we decide that we're just not interested in the increase. You say, Pastor, you know, we spent thousands of dollars on these cameras and these microphones, but we've got thousands of people listening online. And the word of God increased. Amen. And disciples are multiplied. Amen. See, there's a great inconvenience there's a great increase. The problem is this, that people often want the work but do not want the labor associated with the work. See, work requires labor. You and I use the word work and labor synonymously, and there's definitely times in the Bible that that's done. But in the Bible, I want you to notice, if you're there in Hebrews chapter 6, there is sometimes a difference put between the word work and the word labor. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Notice what the Bible says. For God is not unrighteous. This is the verse we read in our bulletin. To forget your, notice these words, work and labor. To forget your work and labor of love, which you have toward, showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You say, well, isn't that being repetitive, the work and labor? I thought those were the same thing. Why don't you notice that God differentiates this idea? He says, look, I don't forget your work, but I also don't forget the labor that goes into that work. Go to Revelation chapter 14. Let me show you, kind of take this a step further. Revelation chapter 14. The word labor is defined as to make great effort. We would say to work hard. Revelation 14 and verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. Revelation 14, 3. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest. Now notice, we're talking about believers here that are dying in the Lord. He says that they may rest from their labors, that they may rest from the great effort, the energy that's put into the work that they're doing. But notice this, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. See, there's a difference. And the God's trying to make a point here. There is a difference between labor and work. He says, you can rest. He says, when you die and go to heaven, you can rest from your labors, but your works will follow you. He says, for God is not unrighteous to forget the work and labor which he have showed toward his name. You say, well, what's the difference? I don't understand what the difference is. You know, the way I like it illustrated is this building. 4 years ago when we acquired this building, and this building did not look the way it looks now. I think it's a beautiful building. I think we've done a great job at keeping it up and making it look nice or whatever. We put lipstick on our ox and try to make it look as nice as possible. And you know, but this building did not look this way. There's a lot of labor that went into this work. See, we had our grand opening service and people showed up and they said, wow, this is a beautiful building. Look at this layout and look at the fresh paint and look at the black paint up. You know, it looks sharp. It looks nice. Look at the new carpet and the chairs were clean and the lights were up. And people said, wow, look at the work. Look at the work. But there's a lot of labor that went into that work. There's about a month's worth of 12-hour days and a month's worth of 20 to 30 guys from our church showing up every day after work and during work and calling, you know, and coming and doing whatever. You know, walls had to be taken down and carpet had to be ripped up and carpet had to be installed and ceiling tiles had to be taken down and ceiling tiles had to be installed and texturing had to be put up and painting had to be put up and cleaning had to be done and decorating. See, people walk in the day that this building was open. People walk in today and say, wow, you know, it doesn't look that great outside. But on the inside, wow, this is a beautiful building. You guys have done a lot of work. Look at all this work. But please understand, a lot of labor went into that work. See, often we want the work. We want the work. But we don't want the labor. I think everybody here would like to have a walk with the Lord. I would hope so. I would say the vast majority of people at Verity Baptist Church this morning would say, I would like to have a walk with the Lord. I would like to be close to the Lord. I would like to have a genuine walk with the Lord and be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, but are you willing to get up in the morning and read your Bible? Are you willing to get alone and spend time in prayer? Are you willing to sacrifice your time and go knock on doors and be a soul winner? We want the work, but you want the labor that goes into the work, because one day you'll rest from your labors, but your works will follow you. I think everybody wants to have a good marriage. But are you willing to put the labor that goes into having a good marriage? I think everybody wants to raise good, godly children. But do you want to take the time to read the Bible to your children, to pray over your children, to invest time into your children? See, everybody wants to work, but do you want the labor? Everyone wants to be trim and skinny, but do you want to put the time and energy that goes into having those results? Everybody wants to be healthy. Everybody wants to be financially successful. There's all sorts of things that everybody wants, but look, there's work and then there's labor. And there comes a point in your life and in my life, whether it's spiritually, secularly, on a farm somewhere, where a decision has to be made, where we say, I'm going to keep the ox and I'm going to clean the crib. You know, parenting gets hard. Parenting gets difficult. And you can quit and decide, I'm done, I don't care. You can do that. You know, marriage gets hard. You can just decide to do what 60% of our nation does and say, I'm just going to get a divorce. I'm just done with it. See, you either decide. See, most people, what they decide is they say, I'm going to kill the ox and I'm going to burn the crib. I'm done with it. And that's fine. You'll get rid of a lot of inconvenience, but you won't have any of the increase. I'm just going to be done. I'm done with this volunteering stuff. I'm done with this soul winning stuff. I'm done with this Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night stuff. I'm done with this volunteering in church and reading the Bible every day. I'm done with it. Hey, look, if you want to have an easy life, there's all sorts of things you can do to remove the inconvenience, but there will be no increase. If you want the increase of the ox, an investment must be made. Where you say, I'm going to keep the ox. I'm going to clean the crib. I'm going to do whatever needs to be done to run this machine, whether it's a church or your marriage or your parenting, whether it's your business or your health. There's much inconvenience with an ox, but there's also much increase. And at some point, the farmer needs to say, I'm going to feed the ox. I'm going to clean the crib. I'm going to care for this animal. I'm going to do it all. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. And I would just submit to you this morning, as a pastor of Verity Baptist Church, the reason we do a Work Appreciation Sunday, the reason we do what we do, and the reason we preach these sermons once a year is just to remind you that, look, nothing has changed. As far as I'm concerned, nothing has changed. We're going to keep the ox and we're going to clean the crib. Now, we're going to do our best. We're going to do our best to organize. We're going to do our best to keep things smooth. We're going to do our best to keep things clean. But let me just tell you something. The kids rip up a hymn book, that's okay. I'm going to tell you something. If a visitor takes a Bible home, that's fine. I'm just going to tell you if somebody spills a little coffee somewhere, or if there's an inconvenience, that's fine. We've decided we're going to keep the ox. We're going to clean the crib. We're going to put the energy and the effort. We're going to be inconvenienced so that there can be much increase for the Lord. We're going to keep the ox. We're going to clean the crib. And I would hope that some of you would decide in your marriage, I'm just going to go ahead and keep that ox I married. I'm going to clean that crib. Some of you parents need to just decide, you know what? Parenting is hard, but I'm going to keep the ox and I'm going to clean the crib. I'm just going to do the hard work that needs to happen to get the increase that God has called us to do. If you would, I'd like you to just take a moment and look at this little half sheet we have in your bulletin. And of course, on the one side, we have our work appreciation roster. And we have all the different ministries and capacities in which people serve. On the back side, I'd like you to notice the volunteer opportunities. Now, let me just make a few disclaimers, because this is what happens every year. What happens every year is that someone who has their name on the front of this list about five different times volunteers to do two more things. That is not the point of this. Look, if your name's on here, we appreciate it. If you're, you know, if you have the time and the energy, we're not going to keep you from serving. But some of you, you have generous hearts and you give up your time so much, and it gets to the point where I start feeling guilty, like I've got to put you on staff or something, you know. I realize that people are at different areas in their life and different stages spiritually, and I get that. But if you've been at Verity Baptist Church for any length of time, if you've grown and increased as a result of this ox, and your name's not on this list, meaning there's not a regular responsibility that you're taking care of on a regular basis, look, that's fine. We're not mad at you. And if you don't want to, that's fine. But if you would think and pray and consider, we would ask you to consider helping us clean this crib. And I'm not talking about just the cleaning crew, it's there, but I'm talking about all the things that need to be done to run this machine called Verity Baptist Church. Now, I'd like to just go over some of these things with you, and of course, the first thing there is our cleaning crew. If you decide to turn this in, we'd ask that you'd please write your name at the top, and there's a basket in the foyer. You can, on a little white table, you can just leave it there. The cleaning crew, we can always use help with the cleaning crew. Any day, Monday, Saturday, Sunday, that you could help, we would appreciate that. The way our cleaning crew works is we have two teams for every day. So two different teams on Saturday that alternate every other Saturday. One team cleans one Saturday, another team cleans another Saturday. Sunday, same thing. One team cleans on Sunday, the next team cleans on another Sunday. We could always use help. I will tell you this. If you can, and if you're interested in helping, where we could use the help is Monday. We're down to one group on Monday. And I'm not going to ask them to come in every week. So we have them alternate. And on the days that we don't have a cleaning crew, the staff guys just take care of it. And I appreciate them for that. And they don't complain about it or anything like that. But it would be nice to be able to have another Monday cleaning crew. I realize cleaning, nobody wants to be in the cleaning crew. And those of you that are part of the cleaning crew, I appreciate you so much. But if you could help clean any day, especially Monday, we would appreciate it. And again, you checking this off is not you signing up. It's just you letting us know that you'd like more information and someone will follow up with you in regards to that. We have the orchestra. And of course, you've got to be able to play an instrument to be part of the orchestra. But if you can play an instrument that we play, you know, you could serve there. You'll notice that there's these little asterisks. And the asterisks will tell you that wherever there's an asterisk, it means that there is a requirement. So for example, with the orchestra, there's a requirement that you, other than the obvious requirement that you must be able to play an instrument, there's a requirement that you must be faithful to all three church services every week and be out soul winning once a week. And what we do at Verity Baptist Church is positions that put you in front of people that are public positions, then we have requirements that go alongside with those, because when, for example, ushers, when people see you wear that coat, whether you think you are or not, people consider you a leader, so we want you to act like a leader. So we have certain requirements. But number three, ushers. Number four, soul winning group team captain, backup. And we could use help with having some guys who'd say, yeah, I'd be willing on a Saturday morning to partner people for soul winning or be a backup in case one of the team captains isn't able to do that. I want you to notice number five. Number five is a brand new ministry I'm excited about. And we're not ready to launch this. We're just getting ready to, we're just trying to put feelers out, see if there's guys that can help us with this. But we want to set up a security team. And the security team has a couple requirements. Number one, you have to be faithful to all three church services and be a soul winner. But it also requires a CCW. So not any man can just be part of that. But if you have a CCW and you'd like to help us with that, just check that off. If you're maybe seriously planning on getting a CCW, you can check that off and just write that off on the notes. If we have enough guys who want to get a CCW, we could probably set up a class here at the church building with someone that can take you through that. So just let us know if that's something you're interested in. And, you know, as far as the ushers, when we end up setting up the security team, I'm probably going to have to pull some ushers out of the ushers ministry to help us with the security team. So we could use some new guys to kind of take some of that, put them into the ushers and security team. We're trying to do these things simultaneously if we can. Number six, there's baptism launder, a backup, and just to have someone who's responsibility is to take the baptistry stuff, and sometimes we could use help with the backup there. Sometimes we have just back-to-back laundry on Sunday morning, Sunday night. It'd be nice to just have someone else so we're not just giving it all to one couple. I want you to notice that there's a list there at the end, and it says, list below any useful skills or talents, mechanical skills, musical skills, construction skills that you want to make us aware of and you're willing to use for the church if needed. And again, maybe there's not anything on this list that you can do, but maybe you have some skill that you, and the keywords is that you're willing to use for the church, you know. But if you've got some skill, you say, hey, you know, from time to time, if you guys need help with X, Y, and Z, you know, we don't know that. So if you let us know, then we'll just kind of file that away and we can use that when we need it. But this is just a little sheet to help with the volunteer opportunities. We like to take this day not only to recognize all our volunteers, but also to let people know, hey, you can volunteer, you can help, you can be a part of this machine called Verity Baptist Church. Because we've decided that the principle is true. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. We've realized that a church like this can produce a lot of increase. And a church like this has a lot of inconvenience. And we've decided to make the investment and to say, we're going to keep the ox, we're going to clean the crib, we're going to do the labor so that our works can follow us. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. We do thank you for Verity Baptist Church. And I thank you for all of the men and women that serve around here, that give of their time and energy. And everything they do, Lord, and we couldn't acknowledge them. We couldn't give them the credit. We couldn't reward them or pay them for everything they do, Lord. And I know they do it for you. And I know that you will reward them. But Lord, we do thank you for them and want them to know we're thankful to them. And Lord, there might be people sitting here this morning that could say, hey, you know, I can get involved. I can do something. I can help. And if you would touch their hearts to lead in that direction, Lord, lean in that direction, we would appreciate it. And Lord, I do pray that you would help all of us in this church, especially those in leadership positions, the staff, Lord, especially me. Help us to renew in our mind this idea that we're going to keep the ox and we're going to clean the crib. We're going to put the energy and the investment into the inconvenience to get the increase. Father, we love you. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.